It's an honor and privilege to be here tonight and to speak out of God's Word. And if I would title this message tonight, I'd just call it, Listen. Listen. I'm going to start out with a story about a guy named Joe. Joe was hunting for a job. And the reason Joe was hunting for a job is because he got fired from his last job. He was a car salesman, but he wasn't a very good one. He's kind of lazy, just goofed off a lot of time. The boss didn't like it, eventually fired him. So he's out looking for a job, and he goes to this car dealership where they sell the high-dollar cars, some of the Lexus, BMWs. Thought, maybe I can make some big money here. So he walks in, gets an interview, and he tells the guy that's interviewing him about how good he is. He's the best. He's bragging himself up, okay? So the boss says, man, this guy must be good. I'm going to hire him. So he hires Joe. Joe comes into work the next week, that Monday. He's wearing a suit. He looks the part. He's got him a briefcase, high-dollar briefcase with him. He looks like quite the businessman. And they give him a desk. Given an office with a big desk in it, and the windows look out over the showroom of the new cars. He thinks he has it made. He gets behind the desk, and he figures, you know, I better look busy. He got a bunch of papers out, paperwork, brochures, and he sees the boss going by, walking by with somebody else. And he says, you know, I'm going to impress the boss, look real busy. I'll pick up the phone and look like I'm busy talking to somebody about selling him a car. So he's doing that, and all of a sudden the boss walks in with this guy. And the boss says, Joe, this is Tom. He's come to hook up your phone. So he's putting on a big show, and the phone isn't even connected. Didn't take long before the boss found out how Joe really was. And you know, you can put on a big show for a while. The Bible says your sin shall find you out. And you reap what you sow. And Joe, you know, he put the big show on, but it didn't last long. And his job didn't last long either after that. But you know, a lot of people are like Joe when it comes to religion. They put on a show, and you talk to somebody like Joe, and you say, you go to church and stuff, you say, oh yeah, I'm religious, I'm Catholic, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or they'll say I'm Lutheran, whatever, okay? And they're really nothing. They're really nothing. Their mom or dad may have went to church, and maybe they were Catholic, maybe they were Baptist, maybe they were Lutheran. But they usually don't even go to church, okay? I see them all the time. And they may go Christmas, they may go Easter time, but other than that, they're not on fire for God. They're not even saved. And then there's other people. They go to church all the time. They're putting on the big show. They're going to church every week. But they're not living it. They're not living for the Lord. They're not even truly saved. They're not a true Christian. They're putting on the thing just like Joe. They think people think they're connected to God, but they really aren't. They're not even hooked up to God. They may pray and whatever, but they're not communicating with the Lord. In John chapter 9, verse 31, it says, we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, God hears him. Sin makes that disconnection from God, that wedge, that barrier from God. If you're not a saved person, really the prayer that God hears from you, say it's what we call the sinner's prayer. When you pray to God to get right with him, when you yield yourself, ask Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Lord and your Savior, and you become a true Christian, that's when you get connected with God. That's when the phone line is hooked up and you have communication 24/7, all the time. You never get a busy signal. You never get disconnected. You always have a good signal because you're a Christian. And the Bible says when you become a true Christian, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes. That's what we want. And in Psalms chapter 34, verse 17, it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. Awesome. You know, have you ever been talking to somebody, carrying on a conversation with them, and all of a sudden they get a text message, okay? And you're talking, and all of a sudden they're looking at their phone, and they're reading what they said. And then all of a sudden they're texting back, and you're still talking to them, okay? But how much are they really listening to you? Or it's the same way if you got kids in the living room playing games on the television, you know, on the computer. And you say, hey kids, you need to clean up your room, you need to do this, you need to do that. How much are they really listening? They may hear you, they may hear your voice, but are they really listening? A lot of times we carry on conversations with people, but we're not really listening. Somebody calls you up on the phone and you're at the computer, and they start talking to you, and you say, oh yeah, oh yeah. And you don't even really hear the word they're saying. You're kind of hearing, but you're not listening, okay? You don't know what they're really saying. And sometimes I've seen this in church. Here's the pastor. He's preaching the gospel, the true word. And here's a teenage kid. He's sitting there texting somebody, just sitting there. And he's missing out on the word of God. And it saddens my heart because, you know, a true pastor, a true man of God, he's spending all week preparing a message for you to hear because he cares about you. He wants you to grow in the Lord. And that's how we grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Absolutely. And if the pastor's preaching the word, and you're there for church to what? To learn the word, right? It's not there to be talking to somebody, your friends next to you, or be out there dreaming, or thinking about what you're going to do after church. He's preaching there to teach you the word of God and how to grow and how to avoid problems in your life by the word of God. And you're missing out when you're doing other things, when you should be listening. Before we come in like this service here, what we should do is prepare ourselves before we even come into the church service. We should be praying, Lord, have my heart open. Have my mind open to take on your word. Lord, let me be like a sponge that when I hear the word, it keeps absorbing the word. And the more I absorb the word of God, the closer to God I become, the more Christ-like I become. And if we're a sponge totally absorbed with Jesus, every time we get squeezed by the world and the trials and the tribulations, what comes out? Jesus. And what do we have to do once we start drying up as a sponge? We got to soak it in again, don't we? Well, how do we do that? In the Word of God, praying to the Lord, coming to church. So we need to be absorbed with God, with Jesus, with His love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, happiness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control. When you're filled up with that stuff, it's awesome. You're a powerhouse for Jesus Christ. And when the devil throws things at you, you can have them bounce off. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Back in those days, the Roman soldiers had that two-edged sword. That was their powerful weapon of that day. So if we would paraphrase this in language today, the Word of God is more powerful than any atomic warhead, anything man can make. And there's wisdom in the Word of God. And we need to learn how to listen to the Word of God. And it'll teach us how to live. Yes, like in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing means listening. Listening by the Word of God. In James 1:22, it says, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do what it says, because talk's cheap. Don't be playing church. Stand for Christ. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God, so you can withstand the fiery darts of Satan. When Satan starts hitting you with them darts, they bounce off. Because you have the armor of God, the Word of God in you. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and helping one another. The Word of God, the Bible, it's priceless. God's gift to us. It tells us how to live. It tells us what to watch out for, what to avoid. Find buried treasure. Read your Bible. Yes. There's a lot of good stuff in it. And right now, I'm going to ask you just to listen, because I'm going to quote some Word of God that has wisdom for all of us to help us in our daily walk. And here's some of it. In Proverbs, there's a lot of neat stuff in there. You want to get wisdom from God? Read Proverbs. And in Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A lot of wisdom in that. Proverbs 14:17, it says, he that is quick to anger is a fool. Don't be quick to anger. Think things through before you go and follow through with things, before you get angry. Here's another treasure. Proverbs 14:16. It says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is confident. He's cocky. He's proud. Let's say there's some gang members going together. It says, a wise man fears and departs from evil. You see a gang coming at you? A wise man sees and departs. He leaves. But it says the fool rages and is confident. He's cocky. Come on, let's go. That's what the fool says. That's what the Word of God says a fool does. And it gets him in trouble. Proverbs 26:4. Don't argue with a fool. Good thing, huh? Because you argue with a fool, where are you going to get with him? Nothing. You'll end up looking like a fool when you try to give any sense to him. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's an atheist. An atheist, according to God's word, he's a fool. I'm not saying it. God says it. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right unto man. There's a way that seems right maybe unto us, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Yeah. I want to read in Luke chapter 5. And here's what it says. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake. And he saw two ships by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and asked if he could thrust it off the land a little ways. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." And Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have worked all day and night and have not taken anything." See, Jesus says, go out there to the deep water and cast your nets out. And Simon says, you know, we've been out there fishing all night. We haven't caught nothing. You want us to go back out there now and catch something now in the middle of the day? And it says here, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my nets." So he said, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you said. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish that their nets started to break. Motioned to their other partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both ships, so they were almost going to sink. Is that a fish story or not? Yeah. Two boats. They caught so many fish, they almost sunk it. You don't hear that too often. How did that come about? Because they followed through. They were listening to the Lord, and they followed through with it. They could have said, yeah, sure. Forget it. You don't know anything about fishing anyways. We're not going back out there. But they followed through. And they were blessed. So we got to remember, even though it sounds stupid sometimes, we got to follow God's word. And we need to listen. And it goes on. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, "Forgive me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Because he kind of doubted Jesus. He followed through with being, sure, you know. But he noticed he shouldn't have. He shouldn't even doubt it. "For he was astonished, and all the others were astonished of the fish that they had caught. So was also James and John, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from him hereforth we shall be fishers of men. And then they had brought their ship to land and forsook all and followed him." What'd they forsake? All. Everything they had. They gave up everything to follow Jesus Christ that day. Wow. That takes a lot to give it all for somebody walking along and to say, yeah, I'm going to follow you. Now we get into Matthew 14. I'm going to read from Matthew 14, verse 14. And it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick." All the people are following Jesus. It says a multitude of people. And it says he healed their sick. It wasn't one person he healed. It says he healed all of them. "And when it was evening, his disciples came saying to him, This is a desert place, and time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they can go to the village and buy something, some food. They need to eat. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give them something to eat. And they said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we got. And he said, Bring them to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke the bread and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes of people. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up what was the left of the fragments remaining, and it was 12 baskets full. afterwards. Whoa, left over. And they had eaten, and there was about 5,000 men besides women and children. They all ate. You know, the disciples could have said, what are we going to do with these fish, you know, and not even bring them to them. They could have just throw it down and says, there's no way we're going to feed anybody. But what did they do? They listened, and they followed through with it. And it goes on. And Jesus urged his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart from everybody to pray. And when evening was come, he was there all alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, being tossed by the waves, for the wind was howling. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea, walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, it is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou will, bids me to come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Peter listened, didn't he? He knows people can't walk on water. He's a fisherman. But Jesus told him, come. He listened. He followed. And it says, and Peter went and came down out of the ship and walked on the water. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me! And it says, immediately Jesus reached forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, thou of little faith, you doubt? And you know, Jesus was probably disappointed in him when he says, you doubt? You have little faith. He had just seen him do what? And before that, they fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's seen all these miracles. Jesus told him to come. And then he gets worried and he starts sinking because he took his eyes off Jesus. Remember that. When he took his eyes off Jesus is when he started to sink. And there's a whole message just in that. We sink spiritually when we take our eyes off Jesus. And when we get our eyes off Jesus, we start drowning. We start drowning maybe in our sins. And we start going through, let the flesh take over. And it goes on in verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then that they were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, thou art the Son of God. Awesome stuff. Now we go to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me good? None is good except God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these I have done since I was a youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet you lack one thing. Sell all that you have, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And then Peter said, we have left all to follow you, Lord. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, nor parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world life ever after. So it's Jesus says, he'll take care of us when we live for him. He will take care of us. And you know what's sad is a rich young ruler. He listened to Jesus, but he didn't follow. He didn't follow through. Jesus invited him to come and follow me. But the riches of this life held him back. These people that win the lotto, you know, it may sound like the best thing on earth to have a lot of money. But a lot of them are heartbroken over a few years. They lose a lot of friends. All their relatives want to try to get money from them. Everybody tries to hound them for money. And there's an old saying that money will buy you everything but happiness. And to pay your fare to heaven. You can't buy your fare to heaven. And in Mark chapter 8, it talks about that. We start with verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, Jesus said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the gospel's the same, shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So money won't buy you happiness. And there's some words of wisdom in Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 5, we start with verse 1. A lot of wisdom in these verses, 1 through 12. And seeing the multitude, Jesus went up to the mountains. And when he had set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. It's time to listen, because he's teaching right now. And he starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. What he's talking about, blessed are those that are not proud and boastful. Blessed are they at poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you that mourn, for you shall be comforted. You know, when you preach the gospel here at the jail, and you see tears coming from a guy, he may look tough, he may look mean, but when you see a man humbling himself and tears coming out, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. When you see the tough guy shedding some tears, you know he has a heart. You know there's something in there besides stone, and that's what Jesus wants. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, meekness doesn't mean you're soft. Meekness means power under control. You could do it, but you don't. You could be 7 foot tall and be able to take this guy that's 5 foot four out. He's giving you a hard time, and you could just crunch him. But a real man, a meek man, doesn't do that. That's power under control. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's like that sponge we talked about, seeking righteousness, the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and devouring the Word of God and growing on it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here's one of my favorite here. They're all good, but I like this one. Blessed are they when men shall curse you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So when they persecute you, hey, go ahead, make my day, because it says, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. It says, blessed are you, blessed, when you're standing for Jesus. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, when you're standing for Jesus. Because it's so easy to stand for Satan in this world today. It's hard to stand for Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men, so they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be a light. Be a fisherman for Jesus Christ. I got a story I want to share with you. It's a powerful story, a short story. It's about an eye surgeon that went to China as a missionary. And here it is. An eye surgeon who went to China as a missionary began practicing in one of the Chinese hospitals. One of the first surgeries that he performed was on a man who had been nearly blinded by cataracts. The operation was successful and the man recovered his eyesight. A few weeks later, the missionary was greatly surprised when 48 blind men showed up to the hospital's doorstep. These blind men had walked over 250 miles from a remote area of China to get to the hospital in order that they might have their sight restored. They had traveled the entire distance by holding onto a rope that kept them all together. And guess who had led the front end of that rope and led all them all the way? It was a man who had his sight restored by the missionary surgeon. That man received his sight. And he was so happy. He was so enthused that he could see. He wanted all his friends that were blind to see. He wanted to have them the same experience that he experienced. And you can relate that spiritually. There's the song, remember? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I see spiritually. And I ask all of you here tonight, how many are on your rope? How many are you pulling spiritually to Jesus Christ? How many's on your rope? We as Christians need to all have a rope with people on that rope leading them to Jesus Christ, because they're spiritually blind. Maybe you're here tonight. Say you're a Christian, but you know your life's not living like one. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Talks cheap. I got another story here. Has a good message in it too. It's about a tightrope walker. A guy walks a wire. And here's his story. This is a story. It's told of a great circus performer by the name of Blondin, who stretched a long steel cable across Niagara Falls. During high winds and without safety nets, he walked, he ran, he even danced across the tightrope to the amazement and delight of a large crowd of people who were watching him. Once he took a wheelbarrow full of bricks and amazed the crowd by pushing it effortlessly across the cable from one side of the falls to the other. Blondin then turned to the crowd and asked, "Now, how many of you believe that I could push a man across the wire in the wheelbarrow?" The vote was unanimous. Everyone cheered and held their hands high. They all believed that he could do it. Then he asked, "Would one of you please volunteer to be that man, to be in that wheelbarrow, to go across the falls?" As quickly as the hands went up, they went back down. Not a single person would volunteer to ride in that wheelbarrow, to trust his life to Blondin. How many of us say we're a Christian, but when it comes where the rubber meets the road, separate the men from the boys, how many are going to stand for Jesus Christ? How many is going to have their faith in him? Praise the Lord. That's exciting. True believers in Jesus Christ. That blesses my heart. Yeah, there's a lot of talkers, but not a lot of walkers. And if you're talking it and you're not walking it, you turn more people away from Jesus Christ than you ever will lead to Christ. Because people see the walk, because the talk is cheap. I have some more scripture, the Word of God, the treasure that we want to get into tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It talks about the walkers and the talkers. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And it says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works for you, Lord?" And here's what the Lord says. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." The ones, they even said they cast out demons in thy name, done many wonderful works in God's name. And the Lord said, "I never knew you. You never really got right with God. You never made that commitment. You never got that phone connected." And it goes on. And here's what it says. "Therefore, whosoever heareth," listen, whoever's hearing, whoever's listening, "these sayings of mine and doeth them will be likened unto the wise man who built his house upon the rock." That's Jesus Christ. "And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man who built his house upon the sands. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it." The great fall. That's why the words of wisdom, it's awesome in this book. It tells us how to live. We need to stand on that solid rock, Jesus Christ. And here's some verses in chapter 7, verse 13, 14. These are sad verses to me. These are sad. Listen to what it says. Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be there that go that way. It says many on the road to hell. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And it says few. How many? Few be there that find it. The road to heaven is straight and narrow, and few be there that find it. But the road to hell is broad and wide, and many be there that find it. Isn't that sad? Are you one of the few, is what I'm asking tonight. Are you one of the few that's on the straight and narrow, knowing Jesus Christ? Listen, because I'm finishing with a few verses from the Word of God. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelations 3:20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him. Is he knocking on the door of your heart tonight? I'm going to close with this story that I tell every time I'm here. And I don't get tired to telling it because it has a lot of wisdom in it. Like I say, I've been coming over 20 years and I've talked to a lot of people. And the key thing that I hear every time I come, it says, Gary, when I got into Cass County Jail, started coming to the services, and I want to do good. And I've been here before, in and out, in and out. And every time I'm going out of here, I say I'm never coming back. But I always come back. It's in and out, in and out. How can I keep from coming back? And this is a story I tell them. It's a story about an old missionary. It was back in the olden days when there's just horses. And this missionary rode on horseback with his big old Bible. And he went from Indian village to Indian village. He has a burden for the Indian people to tell them about Jesus. And one day he was talking to the Indian chief in a village and told him all about Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for his sins. And that old Indian chief asked Jesus Christ in his heart to be his Lord, to be his Savior. Awesome. Well, the missionary stayed a few more days, and he went on to other villages preaching. 3 months later, he comes back to this village. And he's sitting by the fire, and he starts talking to the Indian chief again. And he asks the Indian chief, he says, how is it being a Christian now? And the old Indian chief says, you know, it's great. He says, the load of sin I always carried, it's gone. It's gone. And the things I used to do, I just don't do them anymore like I did. And I have that peace of mind. Like the Bible says, the peace that passes all understanding. If I die, I know I'm going to heaven. It's great. But he says there's two cats inside of me. And they fight. From the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. And the missionary says, what in the world are you talking about? Two cats inside of you fighting. And the old Indian chief says this. He says, "One cat represents my flesh. The old things that I always wanted to do, the things I always had fun doing, the sinful things, the old fleshly things. And it says, do this, do this." But then the Holy Spirit represents the other cat. Jesus Christ living within me. And he fight from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. Fight, fight, fight. The flesh says, let's go do this. And the Holy Spirit says, no, let's do this. And the missionary says, well, which cat usually wins? And the Indian chief says, the one I feed the most wins. If you're feeding the flesh all the time and not getting in the Word of God, which one's going to win? Which one's stronger? If you're in your Bible, memorizing the Word of God, getting in the Bible studies, knowing the Word of God, putting on the full armor of God, feeding that spiritual cat, Jesus Christ, you're pumping up spiritually, making it strong, that's what's going to guide your life, and you'll never, never come back in this Cass County Jail. So that's why I always tell this story. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua says this, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." We're going to give an altar call here in just a few minutes. And that's the time that the Lord's tugging on your heart. It's the time to come up to get right with Jesus Christ. I have these little booklets called Knowing God Personally. And we'll say sinner's prayer out loud together. And you can leave here knowing for sure you're right with Jesus. You did business with the Lord. We aren't here to play church, play games. This is doing business with Jesus. One night I gave an altar call, and a guy come up and got right with Jesus. He said it was hard coming up. First I wondered, what would other people think? But he said, you know, I don't care. And he said, I started to get up, and the guy next to me grabbed me. He says, sit down. But he said, I come up anyways. Satan had his last little tug, didn't he? And it didn't work. Some people think, well, I can be a secret Christian. Nobody knows. I'll just go do my own thing. Well, listen to what this verse says. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Here's what Jesus says about that. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Heavenly Father. If you deny him, he will deny you before his Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus Christ says. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus fills the void we try to fill with earthly things. And God's will and goal in our lives is not always to make us happy, not always to make us healthy, and not always to make us wealthy. God's will and goal in our lives is to make us more like Him. That's what it's all about. So we're going to play a song here. And as that song plays, if the Lord's tugging on your heart, come forward. Do business with Him tonight. The more you reject Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the more your heart becomes hardened. If it's tender tonight for Him, come forward.
Amen. Amen. We had a wonderful message tonight from Chaplain Gary. Amen. And we thank God for, I think it's, I counted 16, it may have been more, but I counted 16 out of this group that stood tonight to let God come into their life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you because you made the best step you could ever make. And it's one that will bless you for eternity. Amen. Hallelujah.